Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for Sunday, December the 29th, 2024. This is the last message of the year. What are you concerned about right now? Reselling gifts? Complaining about toys that don't work? Your blood sugar, cholesterol, or weight? Or quickly sending the last greeting cards. Ah, the good wishes. In 3 days, here we go. The 31 days we will wish everyone a happy new year. And how are we going to formulate what follows? Happy new year and good health. That's a classic. There are also those who lack inspiration. Happy new year and all that your heart desires. Dangerous. Who knows if the other person would want to rob us of something that is dear to us? 1 year, someone just wished me a lot of money. And this person said, "With this you can buy everything you want." Well, the person hadn't really tried to find out what would be desirable for me. And since when can you buy everything with money? Health. Despite the best treatments you can afford, medicine doesn't cure everything. I found a list of what you can and can't buy with money. You can buy a bed, but not a good night's sleep. Buy books, but not intelligence. Buy a clock, but not time. With money you can buy food, but not appetite. You can buy cosmetics, but not beauty. You can buy a house, but not a home. You can buy a position, but not respect. With money, you can even buy blood, but not life. With money, you can buy sex, but not love. You can buy insurance, but not security. You can buy art, but not culture. Money gives us fun, but not happiness. With money, you can get a passport to anywhere, except heaven. And then, with money, you can buy a cross, but not a saviour. And besides, even if we had lots of money, would we know how to buy what is really good for us? I end here my reflection on the good wish heard one day at New Year. I wish you lots of money. Ah, wishes. In 3 days, we will wish each other a happy new year. And what will we wish the person facing us? I am not offering you the solution to this question. This morning, I would rather look at what we can already wish for ourselves. And I am basing this meditation on the prayer of a certain Agur. It is at the beginning of a chapter in the book of Proverbs. His name, Agur, means the gatherer or collector. The beginning of this chapter, the first verse, is not easy to translate. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, an inspired utterance. This man's utterance to Itiel. I am weary, God, but I can prevail. Agur, son of Jakeh, the name of the father, which means man without reproach, fearing God. He writes to Ithiel and Ukal. The commentators do not know if these are proper names, or something else, in particular this expression, "I have tired myself for God. I have tired myself for God, and I am consumed." It all depends on the pointing of the Hebrew letters. But no Hebrew class today. There are texts in the Word of God that, to this day, remain quite obscure to us. Well, yes and no. Bible exegetes and translators can ponder the question for a long time to come. But we do not need to know exactly who Agur was, or who Itiel and Ukal were. To read what is written and try to understand what this text is trying to communicate to us. I will first remind you of a verse from Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29, which greatly relieves me when I am faced with a text that remains obscure or partially obscure to me. This verse says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." What is revealed to us is revealed so that we can practice it. And it seems to me that we already have enough work on our plate to achieve this. So here we are in Proverbs chapter 30, before a prayer. And I point out in passing that it is the one and only prayer in the whole book of Proverbs. A prayer that expresses a wish in some way, and who knows, it is a wish, a prayer, that we could make ours for the coming year. Let's read together Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God." Two things asks Agur. First, keep falsehood and lies far from me. A request for integrity and sincerity, to know the truth, to know how to distinguish between what is illusion and what is not. This is a request on the moral level. The second is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Make me stay in the middle class, but also with a fallout that is no longer simply moral, not stealing, but which relates to our attitude towards the Lord. Firstly, that we are neither so self-sufficient as to forget the Lord, or secondly, nor so much in the lack of being tempted to do what does not please our God, to transgress his Ten Commandments. Before going into the details of this prayer, let us observe the attitude of the one who prays. I ask you two things. Not an endless list like a letter to Santa Claus, but the result of deep reflection. Two things. What is most important to me? Agur is a man who knows what he wants, who knows what is important. I observe that many times, personally, in my prayers, I do not know what to ask the Lord. I do not know if what I desire would really be good for me. So it is better to ask for wisdom first. Perhaps there is a principle here. Define your priorities. Perhaps precisely before the beginning of the year. May our prayers be less vague and general, or on the contrary, too focused on detail. Know what we really want and what is most important. What will our priorities be for the new year? Another remarkable point in this debut of prayer is the urgency. Do not refuse me before I die. How can we understand that Agur is old? Suffering? We do not know. But unlike many people around us, Agur lived with the reality of a life that can end today, tomorrow, or later. And that it is while we are alive that we must be right with the Lord. When we die, it is too late. To you who are here for the first time or by chance, have you thought about death? And that we must make the right decisions before it is too late? And that we must carry them out immediately? Even if only on a very practical level. My father had his stroke the day before the appointment with the notary to sign his will. This document was never signed, and despite all my father's good intentions, the siblings found themselves in difficult situations, simply because my father had not had the reflex to act earlier, before death surprised him. Here, I am talking to you about what is only material and financial, but the spiritual is all the more important. Agur asks, do not refuse me before I die. And the content of his prayer is first of all moral. Verse 8a, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Firstly, keep away from me falsehood. In other words, make me able to distinguish between what is a priority, essential, or simply an inaccessible dream. Between chimeras and the truth, and I would add, between false and good doctrines. Secondly, then, keep me away from lying words. Again, this distinction between true and false, right or wrong, this desire to want to speak truly, to tell the truth, while lies stick to our skin. Lying, or the tendency not to tell the whole truth, to live half hidden. On the other hand, the ability to seek the truth, or simply refusing to believe what I cannot verify in the realm of everyday life. Not turning a blind eye to someone who is suffering, it is not necessarily their fault. I heard that. Have you checked it? Why are you repeating it without knowing if it is true? Do not let yourself be fooled by gossip. Even the best of Christians can tell you a lie, either because he has not tried to verify the truth or because he has something to hide. What more can we say about fraud in everyday life? Here too is a lying word. Keep illusion and lying words away from me. Not a bad program for 2025. I'm not sure we can do it alone. It is better to pray, you Jesus, who said that you are the way, the truth, and the life, guide me in all your truth. Keep illusion and lying words away from me. Let's move on to the second request. Verse 8b, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. It turns out that during the year 2024, I have already spoken a lot about money, wealth, but it seems to me that I did not ask for any. We live in a world that talks about purchasing power, therefore money, better purchasing power, therefore more money. The Bible warns us that money is in competition with God. You cannot serve God and mammon. Proverbs warn us, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10 and 11, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, they imagine it a wall too high to scale. And I add two quotes. The first from Clement of Alexandria, a Christian theologian born in the second century. He writes, "Wealth is like a viper, a harmless beast if you know how to handle it. But he who does not know how to handle it, he will have the unfortunate experience that the viper will wrap itself around his arm and bite his hand." And closer to us, Billy Graham, the great American evangelist of the last century, he said, "If a person can clarify his attitude towards money, it will help him straighten out almost every other area of his life." It's up to you to think about it. Let's go back to our biblical text. Verse 8b, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." We will all agree on the first part. Who would want poverty? Do we agree on the second part, however? It's so against the grain not to want to get rich. Finally, more for everyone. There are always demands for more purchasing power. The yellow vests, the claims, some justified, I think, of the farmers. Others less so, and I won't name names. But for some time now, we have also heard voices that translate what some call austerity into sobriety. A change in lifestyle, no longer always wanting more, always something new, but the minimalist approach, not accumulating material goods and the idea of sustainability. As long as it works, I keep it, then I have it repaired. And why buy three more sweaters when I already have trouble choosing my closet? I think we would quickly agree on the definition of poverty. It is not having what is necessary. But what is the definition of being rich? Let's listen to Agur. To be rich is to be satisfied, to have more than enough, to be self-sufficient, not needing God to live on a material level. With a significant risk. Verse 9a, lest being satisfied I deny you and say, who is the Lord? Being poor, on the other hand, translates as not having the necessary bread. Being in need to such a point that there is another risk, verse 9b, or that poor I commit a theft, a transgression. The poor and the rich ultimately run the same danger, verse 9c, that I do not harm the name of my God. The rich deny the Lord and do not honour him as he should be. The poor transgress the law of the Lord and make believe that God is not who he says he is, the one who takes good care of his own. Both harm the name of God. What does Agur ask then? Verse 8c, grant me the bread that is necessary for me. And there I think of this other prayer. Matthew chapter 6 verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And several elements of Agur's prayer suddenly make me think of the Our Father. Only parallels. For example, in the Our Father, the first requests concern God. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. That your name be hallowed and that your name be recognized as sacred. Exactly the problem of the one who is too rich. He no longer recognizes the Lord. Or this other request, Matthew 6, verse 13. Do not put us to the test. The problem of the poor being tempted to transgress the laws of God. The problem of the rich forgetting that he depends on God. And Agur's other request, to remove from him the illusion and the lying word. This could be likened to a confession or even a request for forgiveness. Agur acknowledges his faults. He acknowledges having spoken lying words, having chased after chimeras, having lived lulled by his illusions, not having always sought the truth. We can see a parallel with Luke chapter 11, verse 4. Forgive us our sins. Agur's wishes, which he expresses in a prayer, have as their objective that his life may glorify the Lord. This is his priority, and for this he asks finally, give me, Lord, before I die, to be true before you entirely, and to obtain the right balance in all things. So if we want to apply this prayer, these wishes of Agur, to our life, it would perhaps be profitable for us to leave the material, financial aspect for a few moments, to look at what a good balance could be in our life. Now, consider your own life, an area where you are not at the top in yourself, and this has repercussions on your relationships with others. Perhaps you tend to get angry too easily, or compare yourself too much to others, or you lack self-esteem, or you are afraid of confrontation. Take the example of someone who tends to get angry easily. What is the behaviour at the other extreme? Passivity, letting go. And then consider the results. If you are rather cowardly, you will let situations of injustice pass without saying a word. You dishonour God who asks you to help the weak, to pursue justice. If you get angry too easily at others, you dishonour God who is slow to anger. What would be the right middle ground between the two? Then you can make it your prayer. Do not give me excesses of anger or cowardly passivity, but grant me a constant feeling of composure. Otherwise, I could let injustices increase, and I would say, but what is God doing against this? Or I could get carried away and dishonour the name of my God by my excesses of anger. Perhaps you tend to compare yourself to others, to underestimate yourself, even to the point of envying others. What would be the right balance between the two, and how should you formulate your prayer? Do not give me jealousy of others or a feeling of inferiority, but grant me a fair opinion of myself and to be able to appreciate the qualities of others. Otherwise I could forget my value as a child of God and say, even God cannot love me. Or I could become hateful and bitter and in this way dishonour the name of my God. Do you see the possible applications? Do not give me too little or too much, otherwise I could forget God or dishonour him. But work in me the golden mean in all things. Each prayer, according to the Agur model, expresses two extremes and their consequences. He does not want either one or the other, but he wants to honour God in all things. It is up to us to see what are the salient points in our character, our behaviour, and simply to authorise God through this type of prayer to operate in us. And let us also keep in a corner of our mind the original prayer which concerns our finances, our material well-being, so that in all things we can honour the name of our God. In order not to let slip what this message may have provoked in you, let us take a moment in silence, each one before the Lord, to reflect on what our prayer of Agur could be, now that we are preparing to enter a new year. Silence. Agur desires to honour the name of the Lord. What do we want in this new year which is about to begin? What is our wish, our desire? May it be to glorify and honour the name of the Lord. Amen.